Hello and welcome to another episode of the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey into the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me across the table, the Indigo Angel, Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And the original Roach Rider, Mr. Matt Noss.
Keep it rolling, baby.
That's right. Today we've got a hot show. Alert.
Alert.
Brad Hicks. We're doing the Orgy album.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Orgy candy ass.
Gotta end the year on a high note.
That's right. We told him it'll happen before the end of the year, and here we are right at the wire.
Promise made.
Promise made.
Promise kept.
Yes. But before we get to that, who's tweeting?
Who's tweeting?
Who is?
So, lots of tweets. Kelly is K-Fresh tweeted at us because someone had asked us, I think it was Scott had asked us about doing a wrestling episode. And we're like, well, we don't know anything about wrestling. And so Kelly tweeted at us a bunch of links to various soundtracks for WWE that have basically all of the, it's all new metal. Like apparently everybody in the WWE came out to new metal songs for years, maybe to this point. Looking at it right now, he sent us, this is a WWE Tough Enough, the album.
All right.
And it's 48:15, so it's respectful of our time.
That's good.
It is under the new metal tag. It came out September 18th, 2001.
That's in the thick of it.
That is in the thick of it, and a week after 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, country's trying to rebuild, and they're like, are you tough enough?
Oh boy.
Some of the people on this: Drowning Pool, Bodies, Alien Ant Farm, Smooth Criminal, Godsmack, Power Man 5000, Papa Roach, Deftones, Big Mother Thruster.
I don't know what that is.
I don't either. Saliva, Pressure 4-5, Half Cocked,
okay.
Disturbed, and Mudvayne.
Nice.
I'm really curious. Who is Big Mother Thruster?
I'm looking right now.
So apparently they changed their name. They're actually called Mercy Drive.
Yep.
They're an unsigned band who somehow has a wiki. They're from Central Florida. Okay. That's who they are. I'm not going to go through all these. But yeah. But he sent us those links. So if we ever want to, I don't know, consider those. Although it seems like they're just, I mean, most of these songs we have, you know, have been on other albums we've done. I'm looking at the one for Tough Enough 2.
Okay.
The other one he sent
us. Just double-checking?
Double-checking. And this one's got, it's got Cold on it. It's got Stained, but it also has Weezer.
Okay.
And Queens of the Stone Age and Unwritten Law and someone named Cinder and someone named Mars with a Z.
Jesus, all right.
And someone named Sinistar.
Okay.
And Injected and our old friend, Robert Zombie.
Oh, Robert Zombie.
Robert Zombie.
Well, I'm going to say maybe Tough Enough too. The answer was like, not really.
Mm-hmm. And there's one more. WWF Forcible Entry.
Oh no.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's different.
That sounds
terrible.
All right, this one is 71:25. Not respectful of
our
time.
Not respectful. It better be really fucking good.
Okay, let me see the track listing. So this
Hulk
one
Hogan,
this
the
one
boot stomping band.
Now these
oh
are all
Oh my god, I wish.
These ones they tell you who the song is the intro music for. So you have Drowning Pool the Game, which is Triple H's intro music. Kid Rock performing Legs, and that's Stacy Keibler's intro music. Creed's on here. Disturbed with a song called Glass Shatters. Sure does, David.
Yep.
Sure does.
He's not wrong.
Oh, that's Stone Cold Steve Austin's intro music.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense. Limp Bizkit Rollin' Dead Man Mix. Who do you think that's for?
Undertaker?
The Undertaker.
Okay.
I love the idea that the Undertaker was coming into Roland.
Hey.
Let's see.
Gong.
Roland, Roland. Rob Zombie for The Edge. Or Edge. I guess he's just called Edge. The Edge is in
U2.
U2. Not to be confused.
Yeah, he might have done some wrestling.
Let me see. Oh, Seven Dust. Were the intro music for Chris Jericho with the song Break the Walls Down. Do you get it?
Oh boy, no. Walls of Jericho.
Oh. Yeah, you know what?
I thought you were saying no because you're like, I don't want to hear any more about this.
Oh, well, that maybe. Like, I think I get what's going on here.
Oh, you get it? Yeah. yeah, so that's, yeah. Oh, Vince McMahon apparently had intro music by the band Dope.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, God, Dope.
Dope.
I haven't thought about them.
Do you know the lead singer of Dope? His name is Edsel Dope.
No.
Of course it is.
I swear to you it is.
No, I believe you.
Oh, okay.
I totally, I believe everything you say. That was definitely all a, right. No, like I wish that right.
I wish this were not a true fact.
All right. So that, so thank you, Kelly, for educating us on nu metal and wrestling. Caleb messaged us and asked if we were going to consider Bloodhound Gang One Fierce Beer Coaster. Now, I...
You've been on record.
I'm on the record that I hate the Bloodhound Gang. But I haven't looked this up yet to see if they are even tagged on Wikipedia with the old nu metal tag. So let me see. This is live. I'm checking it now. One Fierce Beer Coaster. It's tagged alternative hip hop,
okay,
punk rock, rap rock, and comedy rock.
The rap rock would be the only conduit to nu metal.
But comedy rock, you guys know how I feel about joke songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, we remember the Weird Al incidents.
Yes.
I know. And the Aquabats incident. Yeah.
Oh, the rage of the Aquabats.
I cannot believe how long this album is. It is 63 minutes long.
Well, they probably have a lot of funny jokes in there.
The second...
Here's a terrible fact.
Oh, a terrible fact.
Here we go.
Here it is.
Oh,
I've seen them live twice.
Twice!
I enjoy them.
Oh!
Okay. I don't think I will still enjoy them, but I enjoyed them in that period of my life.
There you go.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
I would say down the line, if there are no other albums to do, we'll stop doing the show.
And then because we're so sad, we'll all get really into Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll
do, basically.
We'll do one last episode. Is that it? Is the last episode is One Fierce Beer Coaster?
Oh, and we're just like hanging it up. What a way to go out.
Yeah, you just hear like sirens in the background.
Right,
not in like an awesome get to the pit way.
Not,
like
not in a Slipknot way, no.
No, not in a Slipknot way.
Not in an Onward to Victory way.
Oh, no. Man. Don't you guys sometimes just wish we were listening to Ice Pick?
The Pick Bowl.
The Pick Bowl. I
changed it for no reason.
That's
other than
okay.
I mispronounce words.
Hey, listen. Anytime we're talking about Ice Pick is a good time for me.
There you go. And I got an email. So we have an email. Doesn't get much use, but every now and again I get an email. DJ emailed me asking us to check out 40 Below Summer.
Okay.
And so I checked them out. They're new metal. I didn't have any adverse effects from the brief listening that I gave it.
No.
So I was like, yeah, I'll put them on the list.
Hey, you're looking pretty healthy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And Rob Adams. So we had talked about, I think it was Rob had asked us to check out Factory 81.
Right.
Detroit new metal. We found that it was out of print, not in any streaming service. Jenny, you were ready to call out.
I was ready to do things that I'd never forget.
The new metal bat signal was about to go out.
And then Rob sent an email and said, here you go.
Yeah, thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
You really spared me a lot of regrets. Yeah,
so thank you, Rob. We have so many things, but we have more Who's Tweeting. We'll talk about it later.
In the future.
But thank you. Keep tweeting at Roach Coach on Twitter, Roach Coach on Facebook. But enough of Who's Tweeting. We are now going to dive into Orgy Candy Ass.
All right.
Jenny, when did this album come out?
This album was released on August 18th, 1998.
We're getting the party started, right?
Yeah, I think 98's still party getting started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Party's definitely
This is like 11 o'clock.
Yeah, the party's like...
1999 to 2001 is the thick of it. I think we need to establish this. Or else we're always going to be like...
Well, I feel like the thick of it is established with the release of Significant Other.
Okay.
Which is what?
That's
99?
Summer of 99. That's like May or June of 99.
Right.
Yeah. So that's your thick of it. Because once Significant Other drops, then floodgates are open, you know?
So, interesting question is, and I know that Jenny's done the research, this album gets released, but doesn't really hit until 99.
I believe that is true.
That is true. It's true. yeah, it doesn't really hit until 99. I mean, I definitely, but I remember when this came out, and it was a little bit before nu metal had fully taken off, I feel. Like, when Blue Monday was huge, I recall it being a little bit before we got to the point where, like, everything was nu metal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying, I mean, I guess the question is, like, when did it have its TRL peak? Because that's, remember,
right,
when it really
hit. Right,
and
that's 99, I'm going to say.
Because I don't think I had this album in 98, but I know I had it in 99. This was a from the collection. Bought this basically when it came out or around when it came out. Jenny passed with this band, with this album?
Yeah, so I don't have, not with the whole album, but my friend Renee had this album. And I remember being in ninth grade, which was 97, 98.
Yeah.
And I had gone camping with my Indian guides group. I was in a father-daughter tribe. It's offensive. It was 97.
Hey, man.
What can
Different
you do?
Time.
Different time. I had a crush on this guy named Tyler. And when I got back, Renee said, I have some really bad news for you.
Oh, no.
And I said, what? And she said, when you were gone, Tyler sucked Erica's fingers at a party. And I said, what? Oh, how could you? I was like horrified. Apparently they were on a couch at a party and he just like sucked her fingers in front of a bunch of people. And
is there more disgusting than
I don't
a teenager's
know.
Fingers?
I don't know. So I was so upset. And Renee went, dude, like, fuck her, even though we were all good friends with her. And then we listened to Blue Monday over and over again.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's my main memory of this. Other than that, I just thought that I was like, why are these guys so like slick looking?
They do look like they're made of plastic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they looked a little.
They look a little like, obviously not an actual Ken doll, because that guy's blonde and tan.
I know what you mean, though. Like, but, just a doll.
Yeah. Like an action figure.
Yeah.
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 We're all saying the same thing, just repeatedly over and over again.
We're
reiterating.
Just making sure it's right.
Yes.
How about you?
Yeah, so I had this album basically when it came out. My sister and I actually both liked this album. My sister really liked the song Stitches.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I remember being very much into this album. I remember when their second album came out, I was a freshman in college, and I remember my RA, we were in this cafeteria that ran, they had these TVs that just ran music videos all the time. And because it was like college MTV or whatever it was called.
Yes,
at the time.
I remember that.
But it wasn't, you know what? I
had MTVU?
That, it wasn't MTVU yet. It was some sort of other college. It was eventually acquired by MTV to become MTVU, but it was called something else, like College Music Station or something. And they ran just any different type of music videos. There was no sense to genre or anything. So it'd be like a rap into a rock into a, you know, like just on top, Ben Folds into Orgy into whatever. And I remember they had put out their second album and I was like, oh, a new Orgy song. And my RA goes, what's it sound like? Every other Orgy song? And I was like, whoa, what a diss to Orgy.
Wow.
And then I listened to it and I was like, he's right. They do have a very uniform sound. And I remember liking that album fine. And then obviously my most recent experience with ORG was seeing them open for Filter earlier this year. And they seemed very, I shouldn't say they, Jay Gordon's the only remaining member in ORG. And he seemed to not think the audience was hype enough. And we weren't. He was right. We weren't hype enough because we were there for Filter.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Filter crowd. Matt, any past with ORG?
Yeah, the big past is, and I looked it up, the first appearance of Orgy's Blue Monday on TRL was Monday, February 22nd, 1999. It came in at a hot number 8.
Oh, okay.
And that would have been the first time that I saw Orgy because I was watching TRL every day for reasons that are still beyond me.
Wow. It was compelling television. That's why I was watching it. I watched it all the way up until college. So.
I was deeply in college.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was watching it. I remember counting down. They teased the Nookie video for like a week.
Oh, yeah.
And I was counting down.
Yeah, this top 10, it's pretty new metal.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear this top 10. What was the top 10 on TRL?
Well, I mean, it's the dichotomy of the time.
Okay.
Number one was Backstreet Boys, All I Have to Give.
Mm-hmm.
Number two was NSYNC's God Must Have Spent a Little More Time With You. But then number three, Korn, Freak on a Leash.
There you go.
Number four, Britney Spears. Number five, Limp Bizkit.
Which song?
Faith.
Faith, okay.
98 Degrees. Number seven, Eminem, My Name Is. Number eight, Orgy, Blue Monday. Number two, number nine, Tupac, Changes. And number 10, Monica, Angel of Mine.
I love all those songs.
What an incredible playlist that would be.
But I have to tell you, Matt, that the NSYNC song is called God Must Have Spent a Little More Time on You.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
I just had to get that out there.
Was that like, that's not what that song is called?
I also realized that I was a freshman in high school in 98 to 99, so this all makes more sense.
Oh, wow.
Guys, I don't know. It's the end of the year.
It is.
Just not, I don't remember anything. Matt, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help.
Thank you for reminding me of all those songs, too.
Oh, wow. So that is that's all of our histories with Orgy. Jenny, who's in Orgy on this album?
On this album, we have Jay Gordon, who is on vocals, programming, and additional synthesizers.
No, he was the one who produced the Cold Chamber record.
Correct.
As well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Bobby Hewitt on drums, Paige Haley on bass guitar, Ryan Shuck on guitars. And then Amir Durak did some additional engineering and guitars on the recording of this. And of course, Amir Durak, we remember because he... because he was in Orgy. There was something else about him.
Oh, they have the song about him on the Cold Chamber album.
That's right. And here's what I realized. This is why I was like, there's some reason that I was excited about Amir Durak. Because okay. His name is Amir Davidson. Amir Durak is his stage name. It's a nod to his Iranian heritage, but also it's supposed to sound like I'm here to rock.
Whoa.
Amir Durak. That's why I was excited. I couldn't quite remember.
You know what? I love it.
Okay.
I love it. It took me a second, but I love it.
You're on board.
Yeah, I'm like on board. It's like Mariah Carey naming her kids names so that she can nickname them Rock and Roe.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
Wow.
I guess something the Roach Riders are learning about me now is that I also love pop music.
You do.
I do.
You do.
Including Mariah's World. Check it out on E. Anyway. Orgy.
Orgy.
Metal candy ass.
All right. So I want to say that the liner notes do have all the lyrics in them, but they are printed in such a way as to make you angry and frustrated. Because it's just a giant block of text that you got to stretch out the book. And I just said, screw it. I'm going to oldfriendsongmeanings.com. They'll
good.
Have the lyrics in
That's
an easy
good.
To read way.
Oh, so. Before we get into it, Jenny, have you received a message back from our friend from 2008?
Not yet, but I'm going to give it like 5 years before I give up.
Oh, good. I'm glad you
give it
a
some time. No, I haven't heard anything back. No one's talking to me on songmeanings.com. So if anybody out there wants to, Indigo Angel 69.
I would hope that our listeners do register accounts on songmeanings.com and maybe, you know, put a little input into songs of bands that we haven't done yet. And maybe we'll find them one day.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. But yeah, that's who is in this.
That's a lot of guys.
It's a lot of guys.
A lot of guys in Orgy.
Yeah.
For what I usually consider a pretty industrial electronic band.
Yeah, so that is something that we're definitely going to talk about. They're signed to, on this album, they were signed to Elementary Records and Reprise. And Elementary Records is...
Korn's
label. So that's that connection. There is... I mean, we'll kind of get into it as we go through these songs.
All right.
So let's go into first song on the album, Social Enemies. So these vocals are very Marilyn Manson right off the bat. And honestly, like, I hadn't listened to this album in years and years, and I was like, oh, wow, this doesn't really sound that nu metal right off the bat. This is pretty industrial. Yeah, like pop yeah. industrial, not industrial.
Yeah, I'm this is an album I also avoided. I you know.
Oh,
this would 99 would have been a big goth industrial year for me.
Uh-huh.
And still never gave this album the light of day, but these vocals for sure Manson
right
influence, but like also just kind of that gut industrial.
Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Is this a City Club type of song or album? I guess we're not deep enough yet to say if it's an album, but is this the type of song that you'd hear at a City Club?
It definitely has the tropes, like those drums,
right?
Not too far away from Pig Face,
okay,
which we listened to in the Kitty episode
yeah.
a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not too far away from that industrial past of mine.
Okay. I looked up the lyrics. This song is literally about how Orgy is here to save the freaks.
Oh, God.
They're here for the freaks and the outcasts.
My note on the song was a real patent leather trench coat of a song. And I stand by that.
A real new rock of a song. I don't know God. If you guys are familiar with new rock boots.
I am not.
I'll pull up a picture, but okay. I think I have an image of what a new rock boot probably is.
A new rock
is.
Boot.
N-U-R-O-C-K.
Yep.
Oh, New Rock?
N-E-W-R-O-C-K.
Oh.
But those are the ones.
Yeah.
Oh, let me see these.
New Rock boots. Things of this nature.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, those first ones, those are dangerous looking. Yeah. A lot of spikes on those.
Yep, and they also used to make them with humongous platforms.
So these are like straight up Hot Topic shoes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, are these, now I've never, like, I've seen these in the wild, but have... Are the spikes actual spikes?
I think those are, yeah.
Those looked like real spikes.
So real metal spikes.
What kind of spikes do you think they are?
Plastic.
I think if you're going to get a bunch of spikes on your boots, you're probably not like not going to get real spikes.
I don't know. I feel like wouldn't that be like carrying a weapon on yourself?
That's why you probably couldn't wear them into a venue.
Oh.
Could only wear them when you were going to the Cat's Meow.
Is that a place?
Yeah, it was a place in Royal Oak where you could get stuff like that. You remember the Cat's Meow?
Oh, jeez. No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest.
Well, never mind.
I'm not going to pretend that I was cool and knew what the Cat's Meow was.
I wasn't cool. I bought like green plastic plugs for my ears there when I was wearing cheetah printed shoes listening to fucking MU330. Like, it wasn't a cool trip, but they had stuff like that.
MU330?
You don't know
a ska band, MU330?
I can't say that I
Who's
have.
Who's Your Love?
Oh, no. I don't know that one, you guys.
Wide Awake is good.
Crab Rangoon?
Yeah. Listen.
Now you're naming food. I'm so confused right now.
It's just ska. You wouldn't get it.
I wouldn't. Yeah. I wouldn't because I don't.
You aggressively don't want to get it. That's fine. He has a look on his face like, don't you fucking dare play MU330 right now.
I don't got
now.
Time for that shit.
Okay.
Okay, so that's Social Enemies. Right off the bat.
Setting a tone.
It's setting a tone, which is definitively not really a nu metal sound. Right off the bat.
That's true.
It's true. Second track, Stitches. If it stayed, I'd never leave it. If that turned around, I'd grieve the special dirty things that we used to talk about. I mean that loving you is strange and adored by me throughout. Oh, now it's you again. Someday soon you'll find that someone waiting for the chance to beat you. This is a great song. I love this song.
You could totally do a mashup with this in Tom's Diner.
Really? We're both like scrunching our faces like, would this work?
Yeah, it does.
I believe you.
I believe you. Well, I guess it's funny because, I mean, with the Fall Out Boy song that used Tom's Diner, and then Britney Spears did a cover of Tom's Diner. Oh, so boy. Tom's Diner is deep in the lexicon still.
Oh, yeah. So. It's in our conscience.
But no, I really like Stitches. I've always liked it.
Single, right?
It was a single.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first single, correct?
I think so, yeah. It was released. Yeah, it was released in 98. But it didn't really catch on. And then after Blue Monday caught on. So Blue Monday was also re-released. And then Stitches was re-released in November of 99.
Okay.
So they were like, we'll try it again.
Try it again.
Tough Enough too.
Yep. That's right. yeah, I've always liked this one. I watched all the videos for this album. This video for Stitches is one of those... let's get meta type videos. So it's like picture of, like, it says the band's always just like standing there, and then like there'll be like something that says like picture of band, shot of guitars, you know, and but then they're also performing in like a box that has hydraulics that is dropping and lowering it, and everything is all white, and I thought it was a pretty cool video. Now what the song is about, I wrote that this song seems to be about an obsessive woman, a.k.a. Crazy Putty, to quote 30 Rock.
Oh, okay. I was like, what? Crazy? Who's this putty?
Jenny, did you have anything? I know songmeanings.com for orgy is pretty wild.
It is. There are... As you alerted me to before, I found there are 54 comments
yes.
about this song on yes. songmeanings.com. So he said rolling dice and seeming queer toward the end of the song.
Yes.
And let me tell you,
yep.
that really created a firestorm.
Yes.
On songmeanings.com.
You need to wear your full firefighter outfit when going yeah. through the comments for this song.
Don't expect to find any survivors. Just be no. grateful if you do. I mean, this was one of my favorites of the 54 comments.
Uh-huh.
Straight men are obsessed with gay sex. That was it.
that was the whole comment?
Yeah.
Who was the commenter?
The commenter on that one was... Oh, God. Where did it go? It was... I can't even find it now. I just remember reading it and being like, ugh, okay, cool. Thanks. This is
helpful. It seems that, yeah, the commenters are obsessed with this idea that Jay Gordon is gay. And I think the only reason that they're obsessed with him saying is that he says one line like that in one song, and it sets it off. But also there is a level of to his appearance. He's wearing makeup. There's some androgyny, I'd say, a little bit.
Yeah. I think when I heard the song and when I heard it when I was younger, and mm-hmm. I liked this song, I think I was probably feeling wronged by a boy when this came out. I was like, yeah, Stitches.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I thought it just meant like seeming strange.
That's what I thought. That's what I think it means too.
Because Jay Gordon is totally the kind of guy who would use the word queer to define something strange. Like, isn't that queer? Like, he's just straight up, like, he probably juggles and fire breathes and shit like that. That's what he seems like.
He owns checkered black and white stretch pants.
Yeah, he probably knows, like, a lot of sleight of hand, and, like, he just...
Oh, those purple and black, like, jester pants.
Oh, God, yeah.
He looks like a guy, though, when I saw him in concert, I was like, I'm a tall guy. He's a tall guy. Or he's just got really big. He's got those boots on. He's got the new rock boots on. He looks so tall. He looks like he's at least 6'9". He looks so huge. And he's like 48, 49 years old. Still ripped.
Really?
Ripped.
Wow.
Ripped.
Stitches appeared on TRL for the first time Friday, June 11th, 1999.
Whoa.
Wow.
I think this is going to be a new segment. Matt Nas gives us the TRL history of some of these songs. I like Stitches. I think Stitches has more of a new metal feel to it. Definitely the bass sound in it is a little more down-tuned. It leans more, I think, on the guitars than the electronics of the first song. Yeah. But the electronics, I mean, there have been albums we've done in the past that have, like, I call them new metal, or not new, electronic textures underneath. But this is, the electronics here are straight at the forefront. You know, the keyboardist is not back behind the smoke machine. He's probably front and center. Not front and center. He's front and left.
Right.
Center's Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Inku says the song is about stitches from anal rippage.
Whoa. No
citation.
Did anyone upvote that one?
No.
Okay.
No, that stayed strongly at a zero. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I still don't even feel like the song is like particularly new metal, but it's a lot more new metal than the first song.
Sure.
But I like it.
Yeah. All right. Track 3, Dissension.
This, yeah. I was like, finally something happened.
Here we go. This isn't an activate the pit, but this is definitely like get your drink from the bar. Let's get to the stage to jump up and down.
Yeah.
I don't think this isn't an activate the pit kind of band. But, I mean, jump up and down with your friends? Yes.
Sway back and forth in your new rock boots?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like this one. It's got a good hook. Yeah, I like all the jagged guitar noises that are going on. Jenny?
I was just glad something happened because the first two songs were a little snoozy for me.
Stitches was snoozy for
you. Yeah, Stitches is snoozy.
Wow.
It's not. I don't mean that in a boring way. I just mean like...
In comparison to what we've been listening to for the show, it's a little snoozy?
Yeah.
I can see that. Okay. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
That's what you mean.
Okay. Like I wouldn't be... If I was driving to work listening to this, which I'll be honest, I wasn't.
Oh, okay.
It would have been all right.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened to it kind of early.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
All right. Well, now we had talked earlier. I said, are you giving it a listen? And you said, you're trying. And then you found that when you turned it up.
I had to turn it up a little bit. And then I was like, oh, all right. This is the opposite of the Slipknot problem I had where it was too loud. I had to turn it down.
Yeah.
Volume, guys. Let me tell you, it makes all the difference.
Fickle mistress.
Yeah. I just have to find my whatever middle porridge or whatever that is.
The porridge that Goldilocks.
You're just right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The middle porridge.
The middle porridge.
You know, as they say, the middle porridge. I don't know. I thought the song was, good. It was at least interesting.
I looked it up. It seems that the song is basically the moral of the end of Mean Girls. What did I mean by this? I don't know. I was tired because I'm reading this. I'm like, what did I mean? I should have written better notes.
I mean, I think it's about like backstabbers.
Yeah, basically. They're basically like, don't, you'll find your real friends, but if you mess with me, because that's the thing that happens at the end of Mean Girls is, you know, they say like, everything is good and we have peace, but if you mess with us, we'll hit you with a bus.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also found out, I didn't know this, that I had been mishearing the end lyric, which is don't waste your fucking time. I had always heard it as don't waste the perfect time.
Oh, that's nice though.
That is nice. But yeah, I found that I was like, oh, he's saying the F word here. How about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kids like swears.
They love them, especially if they're hidden.
Yeah. Oof. I think you can slide that one past mom and dad.
There you go.
Is there a parental advisory logo on this?
Not on this. No.
All right.
And they drop enough F-bombs in here.
Yeah. Yeah. This like supports my theory that whoever's doing these wasn't really listening too hard.
No.
They're just like, I don't hear any.
My understanding of parental advisories, though, is it's largely voluntary, though, right?
Yes.
So you can...
It is not like a formal government agency that makes you do it.
Right. I thought like people were like cracking down.
Well, I think what it was that they... I think it was what, when they instituted it, it was like a volunteer thing by the record labels. Mm-hmm. But if someone were offended, like if you put one out and it didn't have the sticker on it, and someone got, like, some parent, like, reported it, you could get in trouble or something, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it was more of a way to, like, cover their ass. Mm-hmm. So, like, but seeing as this being an imprint label, like, yeah. Is that what they call those? Like, a vanity label, for lack of a better terms? For
yeah,
corn?
I mean, I guess something of a vanity label. Yeah. But, I mean, they had...
Reprise is what, Warner?
Well, no, I think at the time, Reprise is Reprise. I mean, I think it's... Oh, wait. WEA International. Is that...
Warner Entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. So Reprise is part of Warner. So...
So many levels.
So many levels.
That now defunct record label business.
Right. I mean, now it's just one. Yeah.
It's Uni and that's about it, right?
Basically.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man, this label talk.
New section. Fall asleep to label talk.
How's that new Roach Coach episode? Once you get to the label talk, you're going to die.
Well, you're going to take a nap during label talk.
Yeah. But you're going to come back when they get to track 4, Platinum.
This sounds like Queen of the Damned.
Ooh, you're right. This sounds like, yeah, like she's like coming out of the ceiling. And she, like, touches a guy and he turns into ash and fire. Yeah. And then Stuart Townsend rolls up and starts singing with this voice. And you're like, that would never come out of Stuart Townsend.
Yeah.
So this is something of a mid-tempo dirge. I do like the drum sound on this album. It's definitely, like, very synthetic, but I think this album as a whole is very well produced. Who produced this album?
This album was produced by Josh Abraham and Orgy.
Josh Abraham?
Yes.
Very mixed bag with Josh.
Yeah, a little Carly Rae Jepsen in there.
Well, Josh did Crazy Town.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Josh did Crazy Town, and he also did... Oh, heck. He's done a couple, but his thing is always to be very slick. This is a slick album, but not to the slickness levels he would eventually go to.
Oh, yeah. He also did Chocolate Starfish and the Hot Dog Flavored Water.
Really?
Mm-hmm. According to Wikipedia.
I think that album's got like 5 producers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read a thing. I mean, we'll talk about it when we eventually do that album, that like Rick Rubin was supposed to do Chocolate Starfish.
Really?
And then it didn't work out.
There's no way the Buddha would have done that.
Wow.
They needed the angel.
Yeah. Well, I like to think of Rick Rubin like napping, as he is known to do, on a couch. And then Fred Durst walking like up to him. It's like really quiet. And he's like... Ladies and gentlemen, and he's like gets all upset and just leaves, never comes back.
Yeah, I don't see him being cool with the Durst vibe.
No. This one's kind of a mid-tempo dirge. There's a part, we don't need to listen to it now, but there's this part, it's called the Something Dirty part, where he's like Something Dirty, and it's very Marilyn Manson.
Oh boy.
Songmeanings.com says it is about a deluded girl.
Oh, okay.
Did you have something? I mean, I'm sure there's like 75 comments on this.
Actually only 16 on this one.
Only 16.
No, I didn't really do a deep dive on this, but it reminded me of Queen of the Damned, which Jay Gordon does actually do a song on. It sounds pretty much exactly like this.
Oh, okay.
So,
that makes sense.
Platinum, though, did remind me to remind you
that
this album did go platinum.
Woo!
Yeah.
Holy
we
shit.
Got a hit on our hands!
Yeah, it went platinum. And it went gold in Canada.
Well, so right.
It did well.
It's an international hit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an international hit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think part of it is also that they, you know, obviously Blue Monday was a big hit, but Stitches... obviously also a hit, so I mean they at least had 2 songs. It's gotta count for something. How many singles were off this album?
Just two. Yeah, just Stitches and Blue Monday.
That's interesting.
Yeah,
you would have think, I mean, going platinum, they maybe eke out three
maybe.
No, that was a
but now that I think about it, so this album's 98.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get popular until 99.
Yeah.
And they don't drop their next album. They drop their next album 2000. Yeah. So probably the idea was, we could try to push another single, or you can go back to the lab, come out with that follow-up, son.
That's so weird, because I would have thought go out on the road and build your fan base. But they were probably building the fan base for... That's probably what happened, is they released the record and they hit the road.
Yeah.
They hit the road hard and they started building a fan base, which is what made them pop.
Right.
And then by the time that Stitches actually plays, so that's June of 99.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like...
They were on the Family Values tour, so they were out there with Korn and Limp Bizkit and Incubus. And then they toured with Love and Rockets and Sugar Ray. But yeah.
What a show that must have been.
And also they were on the live compilation album of the Family Values tour that was released in 99 as well. So
talking quickly about Big Thrifts, I have acquired both Family Values compilation albums.
Nice. Good thrift.
So I got them both. And so that I think that that'll be an obvious upcoming episode.
Absolutely.
One day we'll do that. And then I should have mentioned this back in the Who's Tweeting, but we'll talk about it real quick. So back at Thanksgiving, I was at home enjoying Thanksgiving with my family, and I got an alert of someone had commented on my Facebook wall. It was one of my wife's old classmates from medical school, and he had taken a picture of the audio cassette of the Family Values Tour 98 and the audio cassette of Korn, Who What Now or something like that, whatever, it's from their first album, and he said, do you want these for your show? I can get them to you for the low price of free.
Nice.
And I said, absolutely. And so he mailed them to me, and then he included like 5 bootleg Korn concerts all on video cassette. So nice. I have like Korn from like 97 in like San Francisco. But yeah, so we are gonna have to do a Roach Coach movie night.
All right.
To watch this, because I looked, it's not the same. Like, what's on the tape is not what's on the CD.
What?
Yeah, there's different stuff.
Lauren's big gifts.
Big gifts. So yeah. So thank you, Steve.
Thanks
for
Steve.
That. That was awesome. So yeah. But yeah. And I believe it was. Did you say they were on the 99 or the 98?
99.
Okay.
Well, the compilation of the tour was released in 99, so I'm guessing they were on the 98 tour.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because that makes sense, right? Because Bizkit would have been touring with them. It would have been Korn, Bizkit,
Ice Cube, Incubus, Rammstein.
Yeah. Well, it turns out we had talked about how Incubus was only on the Family Values tour because Ice Cube couldn't complete the whole tour because he had to stop to go film Next Friday.
Mm. I mean, so not a bad choice. I like Next Friday.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've never seen him.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
So I have no opinion.
We'll add that to the list with Fear.
Oh, that's right. We've got to watch Fear, and I got to watch. Well, I should probably watch Friday too, right?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or else I'll be lost.
Yeah.
Well, all bye, right. Felicia.
All right. Okay. Next one. Fetisha.
Whoa.
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 Oh, and he even pronounces it up top. All of you made for those little sick ones. Played up in super drag. Mistreat another piece of you. Pleasing you was a trick. Making you all requested. Hunting up with no reasons. To snap you out of this. Call out on Alice the Fiends. You're into. This has got a real strong chorus. So, I like this one. I think this one's a pretty good rocker. Jenny?
I don't know if I'd call it a rocker.
Okay.
I think it's all right.
Uh-huh.
The comment section on songmeanings.com.
It's bedlam. It's bedlam.
Crazy. This one has 11 comments. First one comes out
Right.
Strong as hell.
Yeah.
Very good song. Sounds like he's talking about incest and pedophilia, though. Whole comment. It's from Kisps on June 5th, 2002. But yeah, I mean, he does say raping you all with a stick
yep.
in this song.
Yeah.
That's a...
Which it seems like that was his attempt to make it rhyme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but like it seems like
because what's the line
like,
what's the line before it?
Pleasing you is a trick.
Raping you all with a stick. Like it was like he'd be sitting there and he's tapping his pen and he's going, I can crack this lyric. Josh, give me 5 more minutes. What type of producer do we think Josh is? We've established Ross will kick you. Jay will bring you treats. Josh, what's Josh like? Matt, thoughts on what Josh might be like as a producer based on who he's done that we know. He's done, obviously, Orgy, Crazy Town.
Okay, Orgy, Crazy Town, and he does a little bit of hot dog flavor water.
He does a little bit of hot dog flavor water.
Okay, he's a candle guy. This guy's...
candles?
He's a candle
this guy's lighting some candles.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's trying to set a mood.
Okay.
Like, he's getting his bands in the mood to be creative.
Oh, I like that.
For Crazy Town, of course, he puts up a tapestry of little Lolita.
God.
Well, you say, here's the thing. He probably can't light too many candles with Crazy Town.
There's
because
too many of them.
Somebody would bump into it. Either easily. You light their jacket on fire or just knock it over. You got a fire in the studio. It's
he just
thing.
Had tea lights for Crazy Town.
Right, right. Or, yeah, yeah.
I feel like he mm-hmm. would bring strippers into the studio.
Yeah? You think Josh
yeah,
is that
he's
type
kind
of
guy? He's kind of one of those like, hey, man, seems like one of those kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, like, you know what, man, who doesn't like to look at a couple of tits now and again, all right?
Jenny, check this for me. I'm almost sure. Okay. Did he produce the first Velvet Revolver album?
Oh, if he did,
because
then he's
if
definitely.
Because if he did, then he's definitely. Uh-huh. Here we go. Moment of truth.
Contraband? Is that the first one?
Yes.
Yeah, he
That's
did.
That's him.
Oh, no.
That's him.
Oh, God. He
lit
is.
Candles and tapestries.
Woo!
Yeah.
This girl's name is, what would her name be? It wouldn't be a real name. He's introducing a girl. It's like, this is a girl I know. What would her name
her
be?
Her name's Persephone.
That's it.
She's really sweet. She's
she's going to school.
Yeah, she's making her way through Dorsey right now. No offense to Dorsey. No offense to Dorsey. That's what I think Josh does.
Oh, that's good.
And plus the name Josh just kind of seems like
yeah.
the kind of guy who, I don't know, I can just imagine his hand on a boob.
Like he just, he puts his arm over a lady to let his hand casually dangle on a breast.
Yeah, like he's definitely, he read like the pickup artist.
Oh yeah, he negs all the time.
Yeah, he probably does.
I did write also, though, that there is another comment that I'm just going to read this note because I my notes sometimes I'm just like, where am I going? I said, songmeanings.com says that it is about someone getting a sex change. It rocks. That's yeah. like one whole sentence I wrote.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because Candy Ass was inspired. That name was inspired by a drag queen that they met.
Oh, okay.
So I do think that like it makes sense to me. I could totally imagine like Jay Gordon hanging out at drag shows.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
So and then there was also a comment on Song Meanings that said that Fetisha was a drag queen that they met as well. So this, I mean, one thing I really do appreciate about this album, like the more we listen to it, the more I learn about it, is like the fact that it was pushing that edge and it wasn't just like this like raw like hyper masculinity that you were getting with a lot of these other groups.
Yeah, yeah,
like
for sure.
I can really appreciate that Jay Gordon was kind of like pushing it in the same way that Marilyn Manson was.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, no, I definitely like that too, you know, that definitely he's pushing that androgynous angle. You gotta believe that this album came out, some new metal bros heard it, were checking it out, they're like, hey, it kind of rocks a little bit, you know, and then one of them being like, maybe I like dudes, I don't know, maybe that's, you know, you just need one moment, right?
It only takes one moment
Just one moment. There's a song about that.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
on this album.
No.
Oh, okay.
Just like in what is that song? It's like the one moment song, you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Unfortunately, all that's in my head right now is From a Distance by Bettman.
One moment. Oh wait.
Not Lose Yourself though.
No.
Wait. Oh, is it the No, that can't be it. I'm thinking of a Fountains of Wayne song.
I think it might be Shania Twain's From This Moment On that I'm thinking of.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh.
No, whatever. Guys.
Okay. All right.
Next song.
Fine. Fiend.
Here we go. Hello. The guitar sounds like a revving engine. I like this one. I think it's a good rocker. Do you think this one's a good rocker, Jenny?
I like this song.
Uh-huh.
I just don't know if I'd call these songs rockers.
Okay.
I think we're probably just, think we have a different idea of what a rocker is.
I think so. Yeah. Because I don't know. I think this one's it's got a good edge to the guitars and it's kind of.
I was enjoying it up until he started singing.
Oh.
He really lost me with the singing on that
really?
One.
Really? Yeah. Oh.
I wanted it to be a little more aggressive.
You wanted a little bit more of like a deep guttural.
Yeah, or yeah. Like when I hear this stuff, I only go to my industrial past, which puts me into the Ministries.
Okay,
into the KMFDMs.
So you're expecting like an Al Jorgensen to roll in here and not sort of like this sub. I don't want to say sub Marilyn Manson. I think he's got a good voice. It's just not what. It's not what anybody in the room is hoping for right now, basically.
Right. I think that maybe I just don't like Orgy that much.
Ooh.
Twist. No, I mean, it's like fine, but I guess when I think when I think of like heavy music or rocking music, it's like a lot. It's a lot,
it's
you
a
know?
Lot. Right. Well, like we said, like none of this is Activate the Pit. This is, you can definitely jump up and down with your friends. Your drink is fine.
Your drink is fine.
That's the thing. You can watch these guys and your drink is fine.
Yeah, you're going to nod your head a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like, I don't think it's a bad song. No. I'm just like, I didn't feel like particularly moved to do anything.
Okay. Looking up the lyrics, it seems like it's about someone who can't face themselves, yet it also sounds like Jay is admitting to abusing them because he says, I took 15 from you. And 15 is written out, not the number. And so that felt to me like he's admitting that like this person was like 15 years old and he like took that away from them. I don't know. It's kind of a dark thing. But then I wrote there is an epic comment on songmeanings.com for this.
Yes.
Did you find it?
Uh-huh.
Is it, can you read all of it or is it super long or is it?
It looks lengthy from here.
It's really long. It's like a wall of text, much like the lyrics in this book.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that it starts off by saying, first of all, Orgy is my favorite band, and they have been for a while. I'm anxiously awaiting their new thing. And then it says, the song really resonates with me because of this person I know in my life. And they go into details about this issue that they're having with their friend. And it says he has a horrible need to try and get people back, most of the time them being his friends, for stupid petty reasons that he doesn't look into. Like if I hang out with someone else, which is everyone, including myself, and being male and non-homosexual with a girlfriend, that is quite off-putting. So he tries to fake secrets that he tells people to try to get them to feel sorry for him, like claiming multiple personalities. And it just goes on and on and on about this guy.
Wow.
And the comment under it.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go.
Damn, that's a lot, man. It's a whole comment.
I would have also accepted cool story bro.
Yeah. I think Dan, you know, I gotta be honest, cool story bro would have been like a total like kiss off diss, but damn bro, it's a lot. That yeah. seems there's a little bit of empathy there.
Like I read that and I had to say that's a lot.
Damn. Yeah. You need a hug? Everything okay?
Whoa. Yeah, it was like a year and a half later that person responded to.
Oh man.
So
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please respond with I get it.
Yeah. Stop talking about me.
Indigo Angel 69.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. All right. We are on to the big single, Put Orgy on the Map, Blue Monday. This is a very new metal crunch right
okay.
here.
Okay. This is the closest we've come to a rocker, I feel.
Yeah. Well, when you cover New Order, it's the only thing that's going to happen.
Right.
So I think this still sounds great.
I think it's more a testament to the New Order song than it is to Orgy.
I agree. But listening to the original song, mm-hmm. it's a different beast. It's not... They do make this song their own in a weird kind of way. Like, they follow the song. Like, you can listen to both and say, like, oh, it's the same song. But also, this version just feels... Like, this part here just feels more aggressive. I don't know. Like, I feel like they... It's the same way I'm, like, listening to the Two Faiths, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're both their own standalone... That's the thing I think I like about this... is that with a lot of covers, you hear them and you think, okay, they shouldn't have done that. Like, yeah. They fucked it up. Like, you can't touch the original. And I feel like with Faith, and I feel like with this song, both the original and the cover can exist in their own separate worlds and be fine. And it's, you know, one adds to the other. I think this is honestly, like, I think this song is definitely nu metal. And I think this is probably one of the best nu metal covers.
I agree with you there. Yeah. I do think this is a really good cover. And I still like it. The comments again, yeah. songmeanings.com, 47 comments.
47 comments.
47?
On 47. A cover. Because it's its own cover. People are feeling things, Matt.
It's true.
They're feeling
it's
things.
It's true, including one girl who said, is it like strange that like I think Jay Gordon's voice is really hot? And this other girl said, that's not strange at all. It's a very sexy voice for a very sexy man. Hee hee. Too bad he's like 36. Smiley face. So I'm sorry, everybody.
I just turned to dust.
Yeah, me too. I was like, oh.
Oh, man.
You can still be 36 and sexy.
I love it. They're like, he's sexy for 36.
Yeah, too bad he's like 30 fucking six.
Gross.
Wow.
Yeah, they're putting him in the ground next week.
Yeah, he's like in his 50s now, huh?
I think he's 49.
Okay.
Like he's like right on the edge.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah. Well, I just read an article the other day. Trent Reznor is 51.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well,
so, yeah.
We're all on our way.
We're all on our way. Hear that, young people? You're on your way, too.
Yes, you better.
Enjoy the next 10 years of beauty.
Wow.
All right. So that's, great. Super great. We all
good.
Love it. Yep.
When I was listening to it, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, this is the best song on the album so far.
Really?
By a long shot for me.
Okay.
I don't know if it's just because I'm familiar with it or what, but I just, I don't know. I just liked it more.
I mean, the songwriting chops, you know.
Not New theirs.
Orders, not theirs. You know, New Orders, you know, their career stands up. A lot of hits.
A lot of hits.
A lot of jams.
Yeah.
I got to hand it to Orgy, though, for number one, picking the right song. Yeah. Like, Limp Bizkit picked the right song with Faith.
Right.
Orgy absolutely found the right song for right. them.
Mm-hmm.
It was far enough away from the original, just like with Limp Bizkit, it was far enough away from the original that they could make it their own.
Yeah.
Like, there would be, there was, I will say this, there is little nostalgia in this cover.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
They are not trying to recreate what New Order did. They are absolutely trying to make it their own. And in that, I do tip my hat.
Yeah.
I prefer New Order's version, but that's the version I grew up with.
Sure, absolutely.
But I prefer Faith by Limp Bizkit over George Michael.
Wow.
I do too, which I guess isn't surprising.
Yeah.
It's also, I think it's of note, we haven't done a cover song in a while.
That's crazy.
It feels like it's been a long time since we've had a cover.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a little bit of The Roof Is on Fire.
Yeah, in the Cold Chamber. But yeah, yeah, it's true. I mean, the last one was the last one Alien Ant Farm or Disturbed? I can't remember which one we did.
Disturbed.
More. Disturbed. With Shout 2000.
Yeah, still Shout. Not the Shout I was hoping for.
Shout
but
2000.
Maybe hey, someday. They're still going.
Hey, yay. Hey.
If they win that Grammy.
If they win that Grammy. You know,
for a cover, right?
Yeah,
for a cover. Well, hey, here's the thing. We were so excited about Disturbed's Grammy nomination that we totally overlooked that Korn has a Grammy nomination.
Oh, really?
What? Yes. For Best Metal Performance for Rotting in Vain.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
That's great.
I'm betting all my cornaments on it.
Oh, yeah. Beyonce is not nominated against them.
Okay.
Not for lack of trying.
Yeah. She had a lot of metal performances this year.
Okay. So, I can't remember. Okay, yeah, we're doing Boo Boo Monday. All right, next track.
I thought you said... Hey, Boo Boo Monday.
Hey, Boo Boo Monday. Hey, Boo Boo Monday.
Pick a Nick Basket.
Yes. What is the next song?
Next song is Gender.
There we go. Oh, this is a hot riff.
I did think, like, okay, maybe we're just going to pick up now.
I like this part. This lead up. I guess this would be the bridge. Yeah. To show us, it's hard to believe what you say, unaccepting what you tried to show us. But no, I like this one. It's got a hot riff. It seems to be about gender fluidity, gender confusion. It talks about having the twin inside you. The labels that gender places on us.
Yeah.
And I think it definitely rocks.
I did like this song.
There we go.
There we go. That's all I have to say about it. I think you're right. I was thinking about how, you know, especially in 1998, 1999, how talking about something like that was kind of...
Yeah.
Taboo in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much more so than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So I can appreciate that.
It made me think a little bit about what we said about the Linkin Park album. And Matt, you had told me that story, and I think I had told it on the episode where you were working in the store and some guy referred to Linkin Park's album as a
baby's first metal album. Yep.
And I look at this as like, this was probably someone's baby's first industrial record. And I'm sure, I feel like they probably got into this and they said, and they probably went to a store and said, what else is like this?
And then my eyes lit up.
And Matt was like, come and join me over in the industrial section. Here's some pig face for you. Here's a little bit. What would you recommend? Let's say Jenny and I come in. We love Orgy. Just play along, Jenny. We love Orgy.
Love them.
Love them.
So much.
But what else is like it?
All right. Well, do you own Manson's Portrait of an American Family?
No.
You need that.
Okay.
All right. Then if we went more industrial, I would be like, have you heard Ministries? A Mind is a Terrible Thing to Taste.
No.
You need that. Have you heard 16 Volt Skin?
Absolutely
not. No, definitely
not.
You need that.
Answering is me now.
We've broken character.
Yep.
You may even like Pop Will Eat Itself.
Okay.
We'll take them all.
We'll take them all.
Here's Dos Dedos Mi Amigos by Pop Will Eat Itself.
All right. Okay. Mom, can you pay for this?
Sure.
Thanks.
Whatever, you little weirdos. Put your new rock boots on and get back in the van.
That's it.
Ooh, yeah. Pop Will Eat Itself. Damn. Oh, so good. Sorry, guys.
Matt just got super. Right. He literally, you stared up and got wistful.
Real wistful. That is an album that sounds like it was produced in a field.
Well, isn't that a big complaint with some early industrial stuff that they didn't have?
Oh, because it's like the first computer home recordings.
Well, that's the critique also against the first Nine Inch Nails album, is that it's got a little bit of a closet recording in a closet sound.
Yeah, well, a lot of those industrial records, it's like, do not hold up because of how bad the production is.
Should have had Josh. Yeah, because I think Josh did a great job. This is probably, I really am sort of reconsidering my opinion on Josh Abraham from the show, because I used to, you know, I'd see his name and be like, this guy. But I think he did a bang up job on this record.
This record sounds great.
Yeah.
For something that is traditionally cold and static, like that, I mean, that was the biggest problem. We just said it, is that it sounds so sterile because it's normally processed and then right into a computer.
Yeah, I want to see. I'm trying to see actually who mixed this, because usually there's some sort of, level of, some guy we know mixed it or something. Hold on.
Oh, there are a few people. I could just tell you.
Oh, yeah.
If you want.
Please do. Because I can't read. Dave, look at this. Look at this.
Dave Ogilvie?
Dave Ogilvie?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Thanks.
Oh, shit.
I don't know who he is. That's his name? That makes sense now.
Holy shit. Yeah, no, that's big. That's a big deal.
Oh, big time mixer.
Oh, he's associated with the Skinny Puppies.
Yeah.
Skinny Puppy. I knew what it was, guys. It was a joke. I can see this.
Yeah, Dave Ogilvie is huge. He did stuff with Ministry as well. He was an artist for a long time. It's surprised that he would mix this record. But I think Skinny Puppy kind of fell out of favor because Ogre is such a weirdo. And he probably was like, I'm broke and I need money. Sure, I'll mix your record. No problem.
Oh, so this guy who mixed it is the guy from Skinny Puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and now I know how to pronounce his name, because it's a lot of letters that looks like sticks together.
Kevin Key.
It was a problem for me.
Oh, wow. Well, that's cool. Well, that explains that. All right. Next one, All the Same. Okay on this song, you know, it's a little, you know, it's slower, it's got this kind of grinding drum machine thing going on, but it's got a good hook. These guys can do good hooks, you know.
Yeah I thought it was all right.
What did you have as far as like what this song is about? I had a couple things.
I didn't have anything.
Okay, so I had two options. Either we're on some Tyler Durden Fight Club shit.
Okay.
Or this is someone who has always looked down on someone else, only to realize we're not so different, you and I.
Wow.
Those are the two things I got. So either we have split personality situation, you know, or you know, realizing that someone that you've always looked down on is actually more alike than you realize, and you need to get down on their level, or realize that they've always been on your level. Couple of options.
Songmeanings.com says, I don't know, conformity? ? Blah, whatever the case, I love this song. It's got great instrumentals and melody. Thanks, Digital Stitches.
How many comments on this one?
Eight.
Eight. That's low for them.
It's low for them, but
yeah, for everyone else. Yeah. I guess we can say like this: this band is not someone that suffers from a case of why aren't there any comments on this song? It's great. Like somebody's commenting on every single song.
Yeah, a lot of comments.
All right.
Yeah, I thought it was all right.
Yeah, I mean we're kind of winding down on this album at this point. So. Yeah.
Up next.
What do we got?
Pantomime.
This is very Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
This is good. So I had this thought though. So we're hearing all this sort of very Marilyn Manson reminiscent sound, and I'm thinking 1998-99. What's Marilyn Manson doing at this point? He's not doing this anymore.
No,
well, he's doing fake Bowie.
Yeah, because he's about to head into Dope Show. He's about to go into Mechanical Animals.
Yeah, Mechanical Animals. So basically, I think. He put that album out, which I remember being a very divisive record. I remember all of the all of the Manson heads were like, "What? What's this?" And then Orgy's there, I think, to fill the void. You know, they gave everybody that Manson album they were hoping for. In a way,
I can see that.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, Jenny, thoughts on this one?
I thought it was all right. I was kind of like, "How many more songs now?"
Woo!
That's not very nice.
Hot take.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I thought it was okay. I just think I don't really love Orgy.
That is very clear.
Well, I'm sorry.
It's okay. Songmeanings.com says that this song is about a girl joining up with a bad clique to rebel.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's more of a Mean Girls thing.
Yeah, the Mean Girls thing keeps coming back.
Yeah. Maybe this album. Maybe this is what inspired Tina Fey.
Tina Fey's like, I'm going to throw on some candy ass. I'm going to sit down with my Robert McKee How to Write a Screenplay book, and I'm going to write this screenplay.
Yep.
And then, you know,
and then
history was made.
Here we go. All right, up next, Revival.
So, special guest on this song.
We do have a special guest.
Special
on this
guest.
Song.
Do you know who the special guest is, Matt?
I do not.
Oh, well then stick around. This isn't the special guest. It's just some synthesizers, but stick around. I like these drums, even though they sound a little bit like they're hitting garbage bags. Our guest is on the chorus, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's so typical to capture and imitate. I choose the crowd to divide. Here we go. So you see,
I try again. Jonathan Davis.
Yes!
You got it right.
Yay! All right. Yep.
Yeah.
More fun stuff for Dave Ogilvy. He was one of the producers on Antichrist Superstar.
Whoa.
There we go.
Here's the thing. I like Antichrist Superstar, but I do agree with the criticism that the production is too thin on that album. And this has got a nice fat bottom end on it. So I think people kind of learned. I mean, that's the kind of the surprising thing is that I feel like there's a meticulous way with what Trent Reznor did on all the Nine Inch Nails albums, and the Marilyn Manson album does not.
And he produced the first Marilyn Manson record.
Didn't he do Antichrist Superstar?
He did. He did, but with three other people.
Oh.
So he didn't produce at all.
Yeah. And I'm sure, I mean, dude's a perfectionist. I'm sure he was like, that doesn't sound right. And they're like, go away.
Yeah. We've got to get this record out.
We got to get this thing out. There is a tick, this ticking clock artist, all right?
It has to go out.
All right.
He's going to be doing these stage bits his whole career.
Whole career.
Everything he sets up with this record, he will never stop doing.
I like to think about the guy who's in charge of Marilyn Manson's like rippable Bibles, you know?
Yeah.
He's like the guy's like there with like an X-Acto knife like 20 minutes before the show. Like,
I had to take another one from the Gideons this morning.
Yeah.
David Lepala, Bible terror. This is only job. You know what?
Mm-hmm.
No comments on this on Song Meaning.
Really?
No lyrics, no comments.
No lyrics?
So, what I'm going to do.
Oh.
So, I'm going to add the lyrics.
Wow.
So, I'm going to need to see that CD book. I'm not going to do it while you're all listening. We already
I was gonna say, you've got one nap. You've got a real transcription challenge in front of you.
I know. But, you know what? They deserve it.
Jonathan Davis
is on this. So, I'll do this to... I'll do it soon, but not while you're listening.
Okay. So what I had to guess is that it sounds like a call to the sheeple to wake up. It mentions Pavlovian techniques, but also some want to leave and some wake up stuff that is very Matrix. And this is pre the Matrix. Although these guys look like they could be in the Matrix.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Or Matrix Reloaded.
Yes. Underrated movie.
All right.
I'm just putting it out there.
That's all right.
That freeway sequence is insane. All right.
But the Burly Brawl.
Burly Brawl.
Falls short.
Rachel hates the Burly Brawl.
It's awful.
I wouldn't go that far. Mm. I wouldn't go that far. Agree to disagree about the Burly Brawl.
Very much agree to disagree.
I don't even know what the Burly Brawl is.
It's the fight between Agent Smith and Neo in the courtyard in Matrix Reloaded.
Oh. Yeah, I've seen that movie. Just kidding.
Really?
No.
Oh, wow.
I didn't.
No?
I didn't. You know what? I see those coats and I'm like, I'm good.
You see the coats and I'm good? You're not, let's see some more coats?
No, I don't want any more of those coats.
It's the visual representation of this album.
Yeah.
To you.
And as we know, I don't like it that much.
We had a QuickTime file of the Matrix Reloaded trailer in college, and McCarty and I would watch it like daily leading up.
It was exciting.
Oh my God. Incredible.
Wow. Well, I missed
that. They built a whole freeway, Jenny, just for this movie.
It's wasteful.
It's better than blocking traffic.
Don't point at me.
I'm just saying.
I don't have a particularly like strong opinion about people blocking traffic.
I have a
traffic.
Feeling that people that live in LA would be like, yes, thank you for building your own freeway. Because I know that's a thing. Blocking traffic ruins your day late for work. Because what? They're filming. You know, Men in Black 4 or some shit?
All right. Well, the thing is, I'm not going to see Matrix Reloaded.
Not yet, you aren't.
No.
Okay.
All right. Let me know when you've seen Fear.
Oh, is that it?
And then I'll watch Matrix Reloaded.
I can watch Fear tonight.
Damn it. Well, next song.
Last song, right?
Yeah, last song.
Dizzy. Initially, don't you think they're going to bust into like a You're cover of like Bizarre Love Triangle?
What is this nerd doing?
Oh, he wants to be in Skinny Puppy real bad.
Oh, is this some Skinny Puppy shit right here? I don't think
this is not some Skinny Puppy shit.
Okay. I don't think this is a strong close. I remember back in the day when I would get to this song, I would sometimes just turn it off. Like this would be like, oh, this is the last song, and I'd be all set. I mean, this is basically Jay thinks this woman is just another drugged up idiot.
Yeah, you whore.
You whore.
Just a pretty face in a room full of whores. Mm-hmm. Yeah, wasn't really feeling that song.
I'm sure you weren't.
Well, beyond just the fact of that, but that whole like dumb, dumb, dizzy, dizzy thing. I was like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Mm-hmm. Just end it.
Yeah.
Just end this.
And that's the end of the album. There's no secret track or anything.
That's good.
So that's it.
Yeah. I do have something to tell you.
Yes.
Robert Kreisgau reviewed this album. Finally. It's been a while.
Yes.
I'll tell you what he gave it.
What did he give it?
Can you guess?
Bomb.
Yes.
He gave it a bomb?
He gave it a bomb.
Is that it?
Yeah.
He just gave it a bomb.
Yeah. Well, he gave Vapor Transmission. He actually wrote a review for.
I got to hear. What did he say about Vapor Transmission?
Aiming to fill the Queen hole by injecting video game sci-fi and Radiohead sonics into a pop metal bass, the Korn proteges forge a startling vision of a future world in which communications technology has been turned against us, becoming a tool for government surveillance rather than personal convenience. Gosh, how'd they think of that? Heavy's a mission with them, I guess. Glam, too. You should see their costumes. Bowie does Star Trek 1974. When it gets this silly, it can be fun sometime. So who's laughing? C. Gave it a C.
Gave it a C.
But Candy Ass is just straight up bomb.
Straight up bomb.
And I more or less agree with him.
Whoa. Jen. Here's the fun thing is watching you slowly align. Like, think about it. When Robert Kreisgau first showed up on this show, Jenny was like, Jenny, you were like, I hate your website, Robert.
I hate his website.
Now she is on.
It's competing with my website songmeanings.com.
I'm looking at Kreisgau's website right now, and all I can think of is that a GeoCities site?
It's seriously, like, I'm not sure, but it looks straight
awful.
Up.
It looks awful.
But I do agree with Robert Kreisgau. This album, for me,
is
overall a bomb.
Oh, wow.
There were some things I liked in it, but generally I was just like snoozing.
Mm. If I may read from my notes.
You may.
This album is very good. It was funny, like, hearing you say it, I'm looking at my first line like, well, this will be a fun about face. Though its view on women is largely as damaged people, the whore doesn't come up until the last song.
That's nice.
There you go. But the question, is it nu metal? And I think the Blue Monday cover definitely is, but it is mostly Manson and industrial influence. Leaning towards the pop sensibilities more than Manson. Well, about equal with Manson. This album, unlike I think a lot of the, and maybe Matt, you can weigh in this better. Like, I feel like with a lot of the industrial stuff, the true industrial, that is made in a way that like it's for people that get it. But if you're like repulsed by it, that's also part of the intent.
Would you? Oh boy, it does have that. This isn't for you.
Right. Yeah. But this album is not like that. This is a big tent album.
No, this is like massive. This is take that and distill it into mass appeal.
Right.
That's what they're definitely like. Here's, I don't know, a couple seconds of Skinny Puppy and you tell me.
Yeah.
Like, is this a band that's really trying to get to mass appeal? Number one, the production. This is 1985.
What is that little snarly boy?
Oh, that's Ogre.
Oh, that's how he just sounds?
Does Ogre know Mortis?
They might know each other. This is like one of their biggest songs, by the way.
Really?
This is Assimilate. This is in City Club. This was a floor. This was a call to arms. And people would kneel on one knee and then have the other knee up as if they were like genuflecting. And then they would raise their hands to the ceiling. This was a goth dream come true. We have to get to the vocals. Okay.
We have to get to City Club right away.
I thought you were saying we have to go to City Club right now.
No, I just don't know if we're like 17 hours away from vocals because this song is interminably long. Here we go.
Mind this. Is this still Ogre?
This is Ogre?
I think it's either Ogre or Kevin Key. I don't know who's sang on this one.
Wait. So the guys in Skinny Pony are Ogre and Kevin?
But he spells it C-E-V-I-N. So.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't mind it once we get to these vocals. Just a little snarls threw me off of it.
Let's all get down on one knee and wave our hands in the air. Oh. I don't mind this. I don't mind this either. I don't mind this either.
I don't think it's going for mass appeal, though.
No, absolutely not.
But I like that better than anything on this Orgy album.
Woo! Hot takes!
I'm not saying this because you like it.
No, I know that.
I'm saying it because I mean it.
I know.
But I can understand why someone would like this.
All right. So, well, I guess So, in the question of what, if any, of this goes in the nu metal canon?
I would put the Blue Monday cover in the canon, but that's all.
Okay. I had written in my notes that Stitches and Dissension possibly, but if we can agree on Blue Monday, I'm fine with that.
That to me is the only song that I think is good enough to go in the canon. And it's like a nu metal enough song.
Nu metal. Well, like you said, you felt Stitches was snoozy.
I do. And I think that Dissension is good, but like, does it need to be in the canon? To me, no. If you think yes, hey, put it in there. It's our canon.
Matt, your thoughts?
I'm kind of leaning towards no, personally. The Blue Monday cover, is it nu metal? Is it? I mean, I might be wrong here, but how nu metal is that cover?
I don't know. I feel like it's you said probably the heaviest song in the album, right?
Yeah.
And it's more straight ahead than a lot of this other stuff. And I think it's of a piece. If you put that on in a mix with not even other nu metal covers, but just general nu metal tracks, if you mix that in, it would fit
it'll
just
hold
fine.
Up. It'll hold up. It'll okay, I'll give you that.
And the thing is that I think that was the thing. I think if they didn't have Blue Monday, they had this whole album, take Blue Monday out. I don't know if they would have necessarily fit on like a Family Values, but you've got Blue Monday. You have that no shit riff on Blue Monday. That's going to get you through. They close with it still. It's still their closer.
Yeah.
They play Stitches and then they play it. So yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely Blue Monday.
Yeah.
Going in the canon.
There you go.
There we go.
Nothing else, Jay Gordon.
No, sorry, Jay. But I enjoy this album. Going back to Brad Hicks, who really pushed us to check it out.
Brad's not going to be happy with me.
Well, we put one song in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but he isn't going to be happy with the fact that you don't like Orgy and you've said it a couple times.
Sorry, Brad. Hope you have a nice holiday, though.
your cornaments have been delayed.
Yeah, your cornaments have been delayed. We'll talk about this in 2017.
Yeah, we will. So that does bring us to the end of the episode. I do want to mention Roach Coach is an official sponsor of Snow Day X 10th year, 8 p.m. Saturday, the 14th through Sunday, the 15th at 10 p.m. at Go Comedy in Ferndale, Michigan. Tickets on sale, gocomedy.net, just $20. If you are someone who is out of state, you're a listener and you're like, this sounds great. I can't.
No bueno.
I can't make it there. You can go to the GoFundMe and donate there. All the proceeds go to Gildas Club and the Tim Hayden Scholarship Fund. If you do make it there, there is going to be a swag table with t-shirts, 50-50 tickets, raffling off some prize baskets, which will have some Roach Coach t-shirts in them.
Nice.
There you go. And there's also going to be a 24-hour sketch show, meaning they're going to start writing it at the beginning of the marathon, and then they're going to perform it at the end, and they will have given little to no sleep. Have you guys ever done the 24-hour sketch show?
I have.
I have.
Is it as draining as I imagine?
Yeah, but it's fun.
It's fun, but yes.
Cool. Yeah, so if you want to know more about it, you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/snowday24hourimprovmarathon. This is a Deco event, and if you want to tweet about it, which you can, make sure to use the hashtag SnowdayX and hashtag FuckCancer.
All right.
Valid tweets.
Valid tweets.
All right. 50 acts are going to be there. I'm going to perform. Jenny, you're going to perform.
Sure am.
Matt.
I'm in.
There we go.
We'll all be there.
We'll all be there. Yeah. Snow Day X. All right. And that's the show.
Okay.
Jenny.
We just end it right
that's
there.
It. That's it. Bye.
Jenny, thank you.
Lauren, thank you.
Matt.
Thank you.
I love you both.
I love you too. All right. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
How does it feel to treat me like you do when you laid your hands upon me and told me who you are? I found
Roach Couch bonus.
Yeah, we've got some extra orgy info.
It's our first ever hidden track.
Hidden track. That's right. Hidden track. So we forgot to mention, failed to mention, that two of the gentlemen in Orgy were in a band with Jonathan Davis called Sex Art. And yes, in which they wrote Blind. And then Jonathan Davis took it to Korn, didn't properly cite them in the credits. They had to sue to get the credit, and now in all subsequent pressings of anything with Blind on it, greatest hits or what have you, it has their credits on there. Interesting factoid.
Good fact.
Good fact. And that's your Roach Coach bonus.
Roach Coach bonus.